Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. I'm going through the verses one by one, giving the number. Those who are unfamiliar might think it's just a list of verses. In one sense, that's correct, but the list of names, but actually the names are grouped in verses. So I'm going to read the next verse that I'm about to comment on. Brahmanyo Brahma Krit Brahma 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 Vivardhanaha Brahma Vit Brahmano Brahmi Brahmagyo Brahmana Priyaha. So, striking in this verse is the word Brahma, which comes again and again and again in this. So let's discuss this. Before I go to treat the names individually, we can discuss this term. It is of vital importance in spiritual life, because spiritual life means to know Brahma. Kim tad Brahma? Arjuna asks Krishna, what is that Brahma you're talking about? The Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutras begin with the injunction Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now one should inquire into the nature of Brahma. Brahma means that which is spiritual as distinct from material. So what is the nature of that Brahma? That is the source of understanding of what is Brahma is the difference in understanding what is Brahma is the cause of the massive divide between the Advaitavadis, especially the Kevala Advaitavadis, or what we say in English, the impersonalists, and the Vaishnavas. The Advaitavadis, Brahmavadis, they're not the same as the Shunyavadis. Shunyavadis, we generally equate that with Buddhists, is not exactly the same, because they do accept that there is Brahma, there is a supreme spirit. But what is the nature of that supreme spirit? The Vaishnavas accept that Narayana, Vishnu, is the supreme spirit. And the Mayavadis will also agree. Mayavadi, Advaitavadi, they'll also agree, because this is, after all, Vishnu Sahasranam. But they will say, just see, it's Vishnu Sahasranam, and Vishnu means Brahma. And they take it for granted that Brahma means impersonal. So they say that Vishnu is ultimately impersonal. So it's very important to understand what this term is. Brahma means, it comes from the root Sanskrit, which means that which is great, that which expands, that which is powerful. So very basically, it can be understood, Brahma, God, God is great. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma, famous statement from the Upanishads. Everything, this Brahma is certainly everything. Everything is certainly Brahma. So anything big, And this means very big. And the term can also refer to penance. That gives power. Tapasya. Penance. The English word penance doesn't exactly correspond with tapasya. The Vedas, that's also called Brahma. So when we have the Brahma Sutras, it also means the sutras which indicate the proper meaning of the Vedas. Then we also, from that we get the meaning of the Brahmanas, persons who know what is Brahma, Brahmavit. That's one of the names of Vishnu here in this verse. They know the Brahmana means he should know what is the Veda. Veda partet bhavet vipra. Brahmajanati Brahmana. So, actually, to know the Vedas makes one's a vipra. To realize Brahma, to realize God fully, that really qualifies one as a Brahmana. But conventionally, it's said that Brahmana is one who knows the scripture. And traditionally, a Brahmana means one who knows at least one Veda. They memorize completely. And so they come in different shakas or branches. What branch? What in your?
Yajurveda.
You are?
Yajurveda.
You are Yajurveda. Shukla?
Krishna.
Krishna Yajurveda. But you didn't learn it because you went to a regular school. But in your family tradition, did your father know? Your grandfather? Your grandfather might have known. But you still know that you are Krishna Yajurvedis. But you don't know what Krishna Yajurveda is. Yourself?
I'm not very sure of it.
You don't even know?
No idea. But no idea. All the prayers, the slokas, pasana, the sutras.
You're from Brahmin family, is it? No.
No, I am actually the next one. Uh-huh. Kshatriya.
You're Kshatriya. That's more like Vaishya then.
Vaishya.
Okay, but they're also supposed to know.
They know a lot.
They're supposed to know Shastra.
Yes.
To some extent, but Brahmana especially is supposed to. So Brahmanas, there's a definition given here. Tapo Vedas cha Vipras cha Gyanam cha Brahma Sangitam. The term Brahma refers to tapasya, austerity, the Vedas. The Vipras, those who have studied, Veda Partak Bhavet Vipra, those who have studied one Veda. And to knowledge itself. Brahma also denotes the Supreme Being, which is mostly the meanings that are given here in this verse of, the meanings that are applicable in this verse of Vishnu Sahasranama. It refers to the Veda, it refers to Prakriti, or the nature, the primordial nature, and the Atma, Jiva. So Atma, Jiva, there's the well-known saying from the Shastra, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahma. Now this is where the misunderstanding comes, because Brahma means Brihad Vastu, that which is great, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, everything, Sarvam, everything, Kalu, certainly. Idam, this, Brahma. So certainly everything is certainly this Brahma. So we are Brahma. We are living beings. We are Atma. Atma is Brahma. But there is also the term Param Brahma, which we find in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is addressed by Arjuna. Param Brahma. You are the Supreme Brahma. Similarly, there is the term Paramatma. There is the term Atma, there is also the term Paramatma. So the Advaitavadis take it to be that the difference between the Atma and the Paramatma is that actually there's no difference, but it's only illusory. But when one is free from the illusion of thinking he's not the Paramatma, then he's known as Paramatma. And similarly with Brahma. They think that due to the illusion of forgetting that I'm Param Brahma, then they take it to mean, then you become Param Brahma. An example given in this regard is that one king, he was attacked by another king and he was losing the battle, so he fled with his wife who was pregnant. He fled with her on a horse. He fled in the jungle, but they were caught and the king was killed and his wife escaped. And then the wife was taken in, the queen was taken in by some tribal people. She gave birth to the son, gave birth to a son who's the heir to the throne of the defeated king. And the wife, she also died just after giving birth. So the boy was brought up and he just thought, he didn't know anything. He just played with the jungle boys and he was brought up like that. But the minister of the king, of the defeated king, knew that the queen was pregnant and he suspected that she'd given birth to a son. So after 12 years, he thought that, well, he's older. If he's somewhere if he was born and in the jungle, he should be 12 years old. He's old enough to become the king now, under the direction of the ministers. So with astrology and this and that, he found out where is the boy, and he found the boy in the jungle and said, now it's time to come and be the king. And he said, what are you talking about, king? I'm just a jungle boy. And then he told him, no, actually you're not. You are a king. You're meant to be a king. So he took him, and the boy agreed, and then he took him and he trained him to be a king. And then he rallied all the people around him and they threw off the invading king and he took back his kingdom. And then after that he just acted like a king and he wasn't like a jungle boy anymore, because he'd naturally, that was his guna, his swabhav. He was in an artificial position being in the jungle. And then he just forgot all about being a jungle type. So this is given by the Advaitavadis to say that, well, actually we're all by nature superior, but we're simply forgotten. So when the guru comes and reminds us and trains us, then we revive our original consciousness. And then we forget that we are of lower order. That lower order life, which was unnatural for us, we forget it. So that's the example they give. What on earth correspondence with reality it's got, we don't know, but it's just an example they give. It's not a very good example, because the one person becomes the king, and the others remain below. So if they say that everyone is Brahma, everyone is supreme, it doesn't work. It also doesn't well, there are so many problems with the Mayavad idea. But anyway, that's the example they give, that actually we're all by nature supreme, but we forgot. And of course, there are so many examples, so many refutations of everything they say. Srila Prabhupada, you'll find in his teachings, he refuted all these things. But the arguments that Srila Prabhupada gave weren't things that he made up. He is, after all, coming in. His claim to authority is that he's coming in a Vaishnav parampara. So the examples he gave were all given by previous acharyas. So if you say that we're supreme, but now we're in illusion, then illusion is stronger than the supreme. I say, no, it's our leela. So your leela is to become a pig and eat stew? Very wrong ideas they have. So many wrong ideas. Another one then, if it's all one, you are me and you are we and we are all together, he is she, and all this kind of thing. And if one gets liberated, then everyone should be liberated. These are all examples given that in the Madhva Sampradaya, what's the name? I just forgot now. He gave so many examples of reducing the Mayavadi philosophy to absurdium, argumentum absurdium, that you take the, examples like this. If one gets liberated, then everyone should get liberated. So there are many faults with that idea, but they think that everything is all one, and that we're, and ultimately then this whole Vishnu Sahasranam, they reduce it. What it comes down to is that, oh, Vishnu is supreme, I'm also supreme, I'm Vishnu. Ultimately it comes down to that Vishnu is just a representation of the supreme, and so many wrong ideas. So it's very important to understand this properly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada who explained all this to us properly. Otherwise we wouldn't have any idea. No idea. The whole of India especially, with the exception of a few staunch Vaishnavas here and there, everyone was under the impression that, well, it's just all one. Everything's all one. And even in the traditional Vaishnava Sampradaya, well, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya I've seen, and what to speak of, all mixed up, so many. How is it in the Ramanuja Sampradaya we see so many people from Iyengar families worshipping Sai Baba? How is it possible? They're confused because they don't have clear knowledge. So the idea is that the Mayavadi's idea that the jiva is essentially is unlimited, powerful, and when we become freed from the illusion, those limitations on the jiva is temporary, and then you become fully powerful. Because we're associated with a material body, we have so many limitations, but when you become liberated, you become fully powerful. This is not true. Not fully powerful. That pertains only to Krishna, Narayana. Not that we become liberated and then we become God. No, 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 no! Never! Impossible! We are always the servant of God. And the very fact that we don't accept that means that we're bound in this material existence. That is the illusion. The illusion is not thinking that, is not forgetting that I'm God, but forgetting that I'm a servant of God. That is the illusion. So there's a major difference there. Okay, we'll go on. With this understanding, Krishna, Vishnu, is the Supreme Brahman. We are also Brahma, but He is unlimitedly great. We are great only to the extent that we accept that He is unlimitedly great. That's all. And if we forget that, or we don't accept that, then we become a worm in stool. And sometimes we may become a king or something like that. One life a king, next life a dog. Just like this first Prime Minister of India. Next life he became a dog, according to one astrologer. So with that understanding, we're talking about Brahma here, we're not talking about some impersonal representation. We're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, he made that book, his summary study of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People, they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mostly they have no idea of God, or they have some idea of God, someone who gives us material benedictions. Or if they become very spiritual, and then they start to think they're God. all wrong ideas. So with this understanding, we can start to discuss this verse. What is Brahma? That means Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not some impersonal idea. Some idea, Krishna has come from Brahma. No, it's around the... They're non-different. Krishna and the all-pervading Brahma, they're non-different. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. There are three aspects of understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. That is the impersonal Brahman, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Truth, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're not different. It's something like the sun, God, the sun, planet, and the sunshine. So the sunshine is impersonal, but it is non-different from the sun god, because it emanates from the sun god, from the sun planet. But still, there's a difference. It's different and non-different. So we are different and non-different from the Supreme Lord. We are not non-different absolutely. Our position is always to serve Him. So, with that in mind, we can go on. It may take many lifetimes to understand this. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have been freed. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed, Srila Prabhupada said about his own guru. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. So by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we're free from that impersonal calamity. We may be fools, rascals, and struggling with the six senses and the mind, but at least we know that, at least Srila Prabhupada, through our great foolishness, managed to implant in our contaminated consciousness that we're not God. We're saved from that massive foolishness. Krishna is the Supreme. We are not the Supreme. So name 667. Brahmanya. So we know this word very well. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Go Brahmana Hitaya cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namah. We pray to Govinda Krishna with this name. Brahmanya means he is inclined to Brahma. He's inclined to support Brahma. Now everything's Brahma. So there you go. He's beneficial to everything and everyone. That's one way. He's the well-wisher of everything, everyone. He supports everything. The material energy and the spiritual energy, they all rest on him and in him. He speaks of Bhinna prakriti ashtata, my separated energy, eight factors. And then there's his spiritual energies. Aparayamitas twanyang prakritim vidhi me param. Prakritim vidhi me. My energy. They're all his energies. So if Brahma is taken as energy, then he is the maintainer, benefactor of all energies. Everything rests on him. Maya tatam idam sarvam. We have that idam sarvam. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. So maya tatam idam sarvam. Jagat avyakta murtina. Everything, oh, you think the whole jagat, the whole universe is unmanifest, but it's all resting on me. Everything is resting on me, Krishna says. So he's the sustainer of that. Brahman, he's the supporter of the Vedas, the Brahmanas, he's inclined to Brahminical culture, he's inclined to people who perform godly penances, not karshyanta shariyarastham. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, people who perform demoniac penances, torturing the body, that's not godly. but people who perform godly penances for the sake of spiritual elevation, Krishna's inclined. He likes that. He appreciates that. So he is called Brahmanya. He's the protector of Brahman, everything that's all the good qualities that pertain to godly people. The godly people, they have all good qualities. Yasya asti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate suraha. The one who has dedicated himself in the service of Krishna, then all godly qualities attain to him. So Krishna, he likes those qualities, and he maintains them and magnifies them in godly people. Whereas the non-godly people, they have a very strange idea of what it means to be kind or to act for the welfare of others. Just like in this state in India, the government, for the welfare of the children, sends them to school and gives them one egg a day. Is it one egg or two? In the government schools?
Premium schemes.
Yeah, they give one egg. The Jailalita, she promised to give two eggs. And the Karunanidhi was going to give one. I don't know if they implemented it. In Orissa, the Akshaya Patra. There's this group from Bangalore who are, they're distributing meals in the school. So government has insisted you have to give one egg every day. So their idea of being kind and compassionate is to give them an egg every day. Eat an egg every day and build up your karma so that you can become a chicken in your next life and tortured. And how many lifetimes, how many times are you going to have to become a chicken to suffer for that horrible activity of torturing the chickens from the very moment of their birth, taking their eggs. Very, very cruel people. So cruel. And they think there's kindness. You see, we're giving eggs and then the children can grow up strong. So Krishna is the protector of that which, of actual kindness. And he gives the good intelligence to persons who study the Shastra under a bona fide guru to understand what is actually kindness. What is he protects all those, particularly those persons who are cultivating Krishna consciousness. Brahma Gyan, Brahma Vidya means Krishna consciousness. He's the protector of the penance, the Vedas, protects the Vedas in his Matsya Avatar. What is that? How does that? Payodija? What is that? Pralaya Payodija Le Jitavana Sivedam. Pralaya payodhija le dhritavana sivedam vihitavahitram charitram akhedam keshavadhritta manmina sharira jai jagadisha. So he protected the Vedas in the form of a fish. He protects the Vedas in the form of Hayagriva avatar. He protects the Vedas as Krishna by speaking Bhagavad Gita, which is the summation of all the Vedas. And we see that Krishna and Rama, when they appeared in this world, they gave great respect to the persons who were cultivating the Vedas, to the rishis. Give great respect. Krishna, when he went to Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse, so many rishis went with him. And he gave all respect to them. On the other hand, there was the Romaharshana, who presented himself as a knower of the Shastra, But he was offensive to Balaram. So Balaram didn't protect him. He killed him. He was a false Brahmana. So Brahmana, exactly who is a Brahmana? We should understand. He's ultimately devotee of Krishna. Krishna himself, he took the position at the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira. Everyone was given different services to do. So Bhima took charge of the kitchen, that was predictable. And Krishna, he took the service of welcoming the incoming guests, which means he would wash the feet, especially of all the brahmanas. They came, he would do that. He would welcome them, sit down, wash their feet. Sudama, his childhood friend, when he came to Dwarka, Krishna was living in great opulence as the great king. And Sudama was so poor, he just had a rag to cover his body and the bones were showing on his body, but Krishna very respectfully received him and washed his feet. In this way he is Brahmanya. He's very much pleased by actual Brahmanas and gives them all respect and worships them. Actually worships them. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the idea, gives the understanding in this regard of Krishna pleasing his guru, Brahmana, by retrieving his dead son from the clutches of death. He retrieved him from that. So a real Brahmana is one who worships Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is completely committed to that. That is a real Brahmana. And Krishna becomes very pleased with such a person, and Krishna supports and protects and nourishes. And we may say, well, sometimes we see in history the Brahmanas, they're also attacked and persecuted. That happens. That is the nature of this world. Then Krishna comes to restore everything. But it is the very nature of this world that people who want to do good, who want to surrender to Krishna, they will make others demons. They will become angry. Demons become angry at the devotees. Why? Just because they're devotees. That's all. There's no other reason. Because they're so envious of Krishna. Just like Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu would have said, okay, you want to worship. I don't like this worship of Vishnu at all. Anyway, what the hell? You go and do it. He could have said that. But he couldn't tolerate it. He was so nasty. He wanted to kill his child, his own child, because his child was a worshipper of Vishnu. So just, isn't it? Prahlad wasn't going to do him any harm. He wasn't plotting how to overthrow Hiranyakashipu. But Hiranyakashipu simply couldn't tolerate it. So the demons, their real demoniac nature comes out when they see worship of Vishnu. So that's the nature of this world, and devotees, they have to be prepared to accept that also. That there will be people who are against the truth, against reality. And they, especially in this Kali Yuga, of course, Hiranyakashipu was in another yoga, in Satya Yuga. But in this Kali Yuga especially, the real religion is not appreciated. But the demons, they become prominent in society. So we have to be prepared for that. At the same time, we know Rakshishatiti Bishvaso, Krishna will always protect me. No one can do any harm. No one can do any harm to me because I, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahma, I am spiritual by nature. The The body can be cut, the body can be killed, the body can be tortured, but I am not the body. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. And Krishna becomes very pleased with those who take full shelter in him, and therefore he is known as Brahmanya. And with that, I'll finish this short talk. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro navayang vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatame dadaham bravimi He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kuruta Anuraga Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha